Heather and I, there's a TV show we watch, and the season started recently, and we usually often don't tell you what TV shows we watch, just in case you think it's blasphemous, and so we don't tell you so you don't think less of us, or we don't cause you to stumble or whatever. But the TV show, the first episode was in the midst of COVID. There were COVID things, they dealt with that. But then the rest of the season is going to be as if they're living in the time post-COVID. So COVID's done with, and they're just normal life. Wouldn't you wish that life could be like a TV show sometimes? Where you could just say, all right, yeah, you know, I've had enough of this. Let's just fast forward to whatever amount of time it takes to get to this other spot, right? Or have you ever done that with any kind of situation you've been in, whether you're sitting in the midst of some relational strife and conflict, and, you know, Lord, can you just fast forward to whenever this is done, or you're dealing with some financial hardship or some physical issue in your body, and, Lord, I would just love if you just fast forward. I sometimes have been tempted, Lord, would you just, fast forward to when my kids are 18, and they're just a little less rambunctious, and then I feel guilty when I say that, because, yes, Crystal, I see that shaking of the head. No, I don't actually want that. But there's times, there's moments where it's like, ah. So we face things like that, right? We also face scenarios in which the source of the thing we're wrestling with is almost unidentified. We don't realize what it is. Maybe we think it's this, but it's not. And I know I think I've used this example before. There's a TV show, I will say this one, a TV show called House. It's not on anymore, but it was about this doctor who kind of did some unusual practices to make his patients better. Well, he had one such patient that came to him for treatment, and the doctor felt like this was like a mind thing, that he didn't actually have a physical condition. And so he left the room and went and grabbed one of those pill bottles, and he went to a vending machine and got some Mentos and put it in the pill bottle and put the cap on and walked back into the room and gave it to the patient and said, here, this will cure all your symptoms. Well, about a month later, the patient came back and said, hey, I've been feeling great. The medicine's working, but I ran out. Can I have some more of those pills? And that is a reality that can happen. Have you ever heard of the placebo effect, where we think something's making us better, and so because we think we're better than we are, we're not in any pain? And our bodies are weird, okay? They do different things and stuff, and unfortunately, we sometimes try to compartmentalize our lives. You know, we got the spiritual world over here. We'll deal with that. We got the physical issues over here, and we'll deal with that over here, and that's not related to that. And we have the relationship stuff that's sitting in here, and we'll work with that, but that's not related to this box over there. We have the emotional stuff. We have the financial things, and we have all these different arenas. And when we have a problem, we tend to try to isolate everything out of the way. Maybe it's because we have a hard time paying attention or focusing, and we just try to hone in on that one spot. But did you know that your body's not in sections? Okay, I love the line where it says that the Word of God can divide between soul and spirit. And what it's saying there is not that they're necessarily separate entities, but that the Word of God is so piercing it could separate things that actually are completely woven together. And there are things in our existence that are completely woven together, where sometimes your physical issues, the reason why you're having them is because of something that's going on in your relationships or in your emotions or because of your financial situation. Sometimes there's financial hardships because of your relationship context. And we have to learn to treat ourselves as whole beings. We're not just in compartments, we're whole beings, and we have to learn how to address those things collectively. And all of us here, at least I think, have an interest in following Jesus, and probably most of you online have an interest in following Jesus, otherwise you probably wouldn't be here. Now, the interest might vary from person to person. Whether or not you're a true follower of Jesus might be in question. But all of us here, to some extent, are interested in following Jesus. And we'll get to the full picture of that as we move along. But just for now, some basic elements are we know that we need to have a relationship with him, and some of that involves regular prayer life, reading the Bible to some extent, going to church, being involved in the body of Christ, being involved in some form of ministry, and living a righteous life. We know those are elements that are there. But sometimes there's aspects of our lives that get in the way of that. And we need to figure out how we can not allow that to happen, because there shouldn't be anything in our lives that fully prevent us from doing the things that God has called us to do. There might be a need to adapt at time, and there might be seasons of adjustment, but by and large, we need to continue in this walk with the Lord no matter what the circumstances are around us. But boy, does this body make it hard sometimes, doesn't it? Doesn't this body, don't you hate when you go to bed in pain and you think, when I wake up, I won't be in that much pain anymore? And you wake up, and anybody ever wake up in worse pain than when you went to sleep? And you know what's funny is sometimes it's as simple as you need a new mattress. Sometimes it's as easy as you need to stop sleeping in that posture you're sleeping in. But sometimes it's just things that are out of your control. And this body tends to sometimes think, oh, you thought you were going to do that. Ha ha. Ever think, oh, you know, I was just going to take this walk, and then my knee decided that it wasn't going to work anymore. Or, you know, I'm going to be friendly. I'm going to be good today. I'm going to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. I'm going to be nice to everybody. And then before you know it, have you ever had one of those days where I'm going to do that, and every person you came in contact with was irate and just testy and difficult? And you're thinking, come on, I wanted this to be a day where it worked. And it's just, life is like that, where, you know, you have days where it's great, and then you have days where it's awful. And we have to figure out, how do we deal with, there's mess around me, and yet I'm still following the Lord? And specifically, we'll focus today on how do we deal with the reality that we're in a physical body that's falling apart and having its issues. And you know how cars will start falling apart within 10 years. So think about that with your body. I think most of us are over 10 in this room at the moment, except for maybe Abram. Well, no, Abram's 11. What? 11, right? Yeah. So how do we deal with a body that's falling apart and yet still follow Jesus, still fulfill the things that he's called us to do? Well, we can do that. We can cope with the physical reality we are in if we understand four principles that the Lord's going to show us this morning. Now, I want to explain, first of all, that while the Bible does deal with the physical reality in a number of ways, it's often that the Bible is more dealing with it as like a side issue, or indirectly dealing with it while actually focusing on something else. And that's something that some people have a hard time with the Bible, is that the Bible's not actually a medical handbook. I don't know if you know that. It's not actually a science book. It's not actually a history book, even though it contains historical events, and even though it contains some little nuggets of truth about those realities, it's not focused on that. The Bible is focused on you experiencing the redemption that he's offered, and us making it to heaven, and us living out a life that has that impact. That's the focus. So sometimes, in order for us to understand some other things like our physical reality, then we have to kind of see some indirect statements and stuff. So some of these statements will be indirect, others a little more direct. Also, we need to make sure we get this out of the way, because some of you, the reason why you're not involved in ministry is because your body's not cooperating. And what I'm going to show you, just like Cindy had an experience, I'll let her tell you about that this morning, that sometimes you just have to just go even if your body's saying no. And I know that all of you do that sometimes. Some of you have pushed through the pain and gone to work, right? Some of you have gone to work, you know, my body's saying no, but I have to go. I can't miss another day of work. Or I have to get to the store, or I can't miss out on this. And so all of us at various points say, you know, my body's saying no, but I'm going anyway. And sometimes that was a mistake, and sometimes it was what we should have done. Some of us, our prayer life is affected by our body. So, some of us, our ability to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit, we're just irritable because our body hurts. And I want you to know that God still expects you to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit even if your body hurts. Now, I can be, if I'm on the receiving end of someone being irritable, I can be gracious to the fact that their body's hurting, right? But if I'm the one that is hurting, the Holy Spirit is still able to make you exhibit the fruit of the Spirit despite how much pain there is. So how do we get there? Well, the first principle is we are all under a curse that won't be lifted until we get to heaven. Now, you might say, well, what about the passage that says that we aren't under a curse anymore? Well, hold on to that, because that's the Galatians passage we'll look at in a moment. But the reality is we are all under an existing curse that is not going to be lifted till you either die or we are in the eternal new heavens and a new earth. In Genesis chapter 2, we see Adam and Eve being instructed by the Lord that if they were to eat from that tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, on the day you eat from it, you will surely what? Die. Once they, and every one of us, though we might point the finger of, lousy Adam and Eve, can't believe they did that, now we're stuck in this. Every single one of us, when we've sinned in our lives, we've proven that if we were in that position, if we were the first man, first woman, we would have also eaten from that tree. And once that happened, the whole world was put under corruption. All our bodies are just decaying. We reach a peak at some point, and then our bodies just go downhill from there. The earth around us, in fact, there's the scripture, I think it's in Romans, that says all of creation is groaning for its deliverance. And so we are in this space where, and it's just a denial of reality if we think that this is not what we're under. Because we see it throughout all of human existence. We see it in the biblical accounts, people suffering under that umbrella. We see it in historical accounts outside of scripture. We even see it today and in our own lives. We constantly see that the reality is that the body is breaking down, that there's strife and there's conflict in the world, and there's issues that won't ever go away until Jesus comes back. And how do I know that? Well, in Revelation 21, and in 22, there's a couple of scenes that are depicted. First, in 21, when we're at the new Jerusalem and in the new heavens and the new earth, and that's where we get the passage that at that point there will no longer be any death or sickness or sorrow or pain or all of those things. That's when the former things pass away. So you are not going to escape all pain and discomfort until then. And all of us sit underneath that reality. We also have in chapter 22 of Revelation this passage in verse 2 and 3 that says, through the middle of the street of the city. I don't know about you, but if you ever want to pick me up, read Revelation 22. I can't wait to go to that place. I don't know about you. But there is this street in this of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, okay? At this moment is when that kind of curse is gone. But the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. Now, the healing of the nations, some people read that and wonder, does that mean that we're going to have things we're going to need healed of in heaven for all eternity? No, that does not mean that we keep getting prescriptions while we're in heaven and we get medical treatment while we're in heaven. What I really believe that means is upon entry, okay, when we enter into heaven, that's when we eat from the healing leaves, which might likely be figurative, and that's when we receive this total healing where all those issues are gone away. God, aren't you looking forward to it? No more neck pain? No more issues in your back? No more threat that you might get cancer or the cancer might come back. No more concern that you have heart issues. No more concern that you have to walk slower than you would like. No more concern that you might not be able to reach to the places that you'd like to reach. Isn't that a great, glorious day to look forward to? But the unfortunate reality is we're not there yet, which means we have pain to deal with and suffering to deal with. Hebrews says it is appointed to man to what? To die. And after that comes the judgment. You are going to die. You are going to suffer in life. You're going to experience pain and hardship and loss and conflict. And amen, you are dismissed. I hope you're encouraged by that message. But the problem is if we don't accept that reality, and this is where those name it and claim it word faith type people, get us into problems. When they don't at least acknowledge the reality that sometimes it's just what happens in this life. Well, no, if I would have just prayed harder then, if I would have just believed more then, if I would have just, you know, been able to push through that temptation and live more righteously then. And yeah, sometimes those are the scenarios, but I want you to understand that you can live a sinless life. You can't really live a sinless life, but if hypothetically you could live a sinless life and believe with a faith that moves mountains and just be spotless before the Lord and just pray hours on end, I want you to know that that person will still be in pain. And you know how I know that? Because Jesus Christ lived a perfect sinless life and believed and had faith more than any of you could ever have and prayed hours on end every day, often slipping away to pray it by himself alone, and yet he still suffered. And if you don't come to terms with it, your faith is going to be shaken sometimes. You're going to have a hard time before God because you're going to stand before him and say, God, why do you care about me? Why would you let this happen to me? And I don't understand. And you're going to want to give up on different things if you don't understand that this is what we live in. We live in a cursed situation. Well, what about that passage in Galatians that says that we're no longer under curse? Let's look at that. Galatians chapter 3, picking up at verse 10 and following. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith, rather the one who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree, so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. There are different curses that we could sit under, and I don't mean like a witchcraft curse that someone cast a spell on you. And there's some Christians that believe that there's demonic forces that can come over and inflict you. And listen, the demonic forces and people that do witchcraft, they have no power over you. They can't do anything to you if you don't let them do things to you. However, there are problems, and the word curse is being used there, that exist in life. One of them is that we live in a body that's decaying, and we live in a world that's decaying. The other is, which is what we see in Galatians is dealing with, is that there is a curse in that, in the law, if you don't, like James says, if you don't fulfill the whole thing, you're toast. You can't stand before God justified and have those issues in your life unless somebody else came in and took your place and covered you with their blood and made you innocent before God. And since he did that, we're delivered from the curse of what? Eternal condemnation. Not delivered from the curse of ever having to experience pain or hardship. Because again, I think there's some Christians that think that I could just name it, claim it, and however I want my life to turn out, it'll just turn out that way if I have enough faith. Not true. It's not. We would have to deny reality to say that that is true. Now, does that mean, again, that sometimes it's not because someone lacks faith? No, there are times that it's because someone lacks faith or because someone has a sin issue in their life or other issues that are present. But that is not always the reason. Jesus wasn't a sinful person, and that's why he went to the cross. Jesus didn't lack faith, and that's why he went to the cross. What about all the martyrs in the first century and second century? Did they really lack faith? Were they really that unfaithful to God that that's why they were ripped to shred by wild animals, because they were too sinful? And all the other people around us, which is a shame that there are some people that will say that, you know, nobody in our church is going to get COVID because we have faith. Now, God can deliver a person from COVID because they have faith. But that doesn't mean that he's not going to allow it to come to you or to me or any other issue that we can face. And we have to, before we can begin to cope with our physical reality, we have to first admit that sometimes this body's going to hurt. It just is. Sometimes I'm going to suffer. Sometimes I'm going to face hardship. It's just the reality of the life that we live in, and that will not fully change till we get to heaven. Second principle we need to realize is that some relief is available in various forms. So just because we're in that place right now, that does not mean that we have to always suffer. That does not mean that there's not ways that pain can be alleviated. That would also be a denial of reality, because all of us, have you ever had a pain before that went away at some point? Now, there's not Bible for this, but all of you know that God created us, we've discovered it with science, with an immune system. And so there's some times where you didn't pray, you didn't take any medicine, but it just went away at some point. And how did that happen? Because God designed this wonderful body. As much as it decays and falls apart, it's still an amazing creation that God created. And sometimes it just, on its own, by the way God designed it, kicks the thing out of you. Isn't that awesome? And so sometimes it's just what happens. There are other ways that we can be relieved from pain. One is through prayer. James 5:16 says, "Let us go to the elders of the church and confess our sins to one another and pray for one another so that we can be healed." That there is healing in asking God to heal me. We were talking with those of us guys that were praying before the service. We were talking about how the need to just ask God for everything. You know, if you have a mild cold, ask God to heal you. If you have just a little headache, if you know your knee hurts, just ask God for every single thing. But wouldn't I be bothering him? Isn't he too busy? I mean, that's not biblical. He says he knows every hair that falls from your head, or how many hairs are on your head. Like, God is, I mean, is he that limited that he can't be that engaged with you on a constant basis? So just ask him all the time. And James says, you have not because you ask not, right? So sometimes the reason why you're suffering is because you're too prideful to ask God to do something about it. Or because you feel too insignificant to ask God. What does the scripture say? We can, because of what Jesus did, we can boldly come into the throne of grace. And it's not because we have any deserving in it, but it's because Jesus earned it for us. And we can go in and ask for anything we want. Now, my children can come to me and say, can I have a day off school and eat ice cream and drink pop and play video games all day long? They can ask that if they want to. And I will love them and want to give that to them, but I won't. For all kinds of reasons why I won't do that. Now, do I let them eat ice cream and, you know, play video games and some of that stuff? Yes, in its place and stuff. And our loving Heavenly Father, same thing. You don't know until you ask. I mean, sometimes people think, well, I think it would be too selfish to ask. You don't know until you ask him. Give him a chance to say no. Some of you are afraid to call me or text me at certain times because you think, I don't want to bother you in this time or that time. And what do I often tell to some of you? Give me the chance to say no. You know, just call me and see if I don't answer. Just text me and see if I wait a while. But give me the chance to say no. And the same with God. Give him the chance to say no. Well, but what if he says no? Is it going to change anything? You know, God, take away this headache. And he said no, and I still have a headache. Nothing changed. Right? You're not going to be harmed by it. So ask God for anything. And I'm telling you, you might be amazed at how many things you might be relieved from because you just asked. And so let's make sure that that's not an issue. Let's make sure we at least ask. Secondly, is righteousness. Exodus 15:26, when the Israelites are leaving Egypt, exiting out of Egypt, the Lord tells them that if they were to be faithful to his commands, that he will not place any of the diseases on them that he has placed on the Egyptians. Why? If they live right before him. 1 Corinthians 11, we read in that communion passage from Paul that there were some people that were sick. Why? Because they were not receiving communion in the right way. And so at times, God will allow pain to enter your life. Why? Because you're not living right. Now that's mean. Is he a vindictive God? Why would he do that? You know why he would do that? Because sometimes you won't be willing to obey him until you hurt. And so he lets you hurt so that you can come to your senses and begin to follow him. And I don't know about you, but if the pain's hard enough, wouldn't you rather just start living right and start praying and not deal with the pain anymore? So if that is potentially the reason why you are suffering, then let's make sure that we deal with that, amen? So let's make sure that we're praying, we're righteous before him. A third item is medicine. Now, this one is little dealt with in Scripture, but it is there. It kind of sneaks its way in. And a lot of Christians have a difficult time with medicine. You know, when is it okay? Is it a lack of faith to take, you know, a painkiller? Is it a lack of faith to go to the doctor or have surgery or any of those things? And there's even There's a group, I think it's a cultic group that won't receive any medical treatment. I think it might be Jehovah's Witnesses. There's some kind of group that won't receive any medical treatment. Well, just a couple of notes. Again, they kind of sneak their way in there. One, I don't know if you know this, but if you read through the Old Testament, particularly like Leviticus, you will find that a lot of those priests were acting as doctors. You would come and they would do certain things to kind of result in fixing the issue. It wasn't quite like our modern medical practice, but there was something there. Luke, who wrote the Gospel of Luke, he was called a physician in one of Paul's letters, so he practiced treatment. Jesus even alluded to, it's not the sick who need a physician, or not the well who need a physician, but the sick. Now, it doesn't mean he was necessarily advocating seeking medical care, but he did acknowledge that that exists. This is what you do. If you're sick, you go see a doctor. In 1 Timothy 5, verse 23, Paul says to Timothy, take a little wine for your stomach to alleviate your symptoms. No, that does not mean you need to drink wine anytime you have a physical issue. No, that does not mean you even need to drink wine necessarily. We can talk about that at another time. But Paul was obviously advocating that you can, it is appropriate when your body's not functioning well to put something in your body to alleviate that. Why didn't Paul say to Timothy, you know, if your stomach's bothering you, have more faith? You know, Timothy, if your stomach's bothering you, then just pray more. You know, maybe there's some sin in your life and that's why your stomach's bothering you. Why didn't Paul do that? No, Paul said, take something to alleviate your symptoms. Okay? And I think sometimes for us, in order to try to prove that we're strong or we have more faith, we won't go to the doctor. Well, sometimes I think it's we're scared to go to the doctor because we're afraid of what he might tell us. And sometimes you're suffering just because you won't take the things that are available to you. God put an amazing intellect in some of the people's mind. Aren't you astounded by the intellect of some human beings sometimes around you? And know that that's coming from God. God is the one who's so brilliant, and he allows some of us to have that. And let's make use of that. So if you can be alleviated, then use medicine. Fourth, this is another one that's going to be indirectly mentioned to us, but that is that of nutrition. Sometimes you feel lousy because you eat bad things. Okay? You might say that it's, you know, it must be a lack of faith that my stomach hurts this morning, but if you ate a bunch of greasy foods at 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, and you wake up with a tummy ache, well, there might be a reason for that. If you're getting cavities all the time and you're drinking pop every day and drinking like 30 gallons a day or something, well, there might be a reason why your tooth hurts. Why would God do this to me? How could he let me suffer under these conditions? Sometimes it's because you eat garbage. Now, is that always the reason why that happens? No. But listen, God gave you a brain. And you will see throughout the Old Testament, God gave lots of laws about nutrition. I don't know if you're aware of that. Sometimes it was to set apart a people to be different from others, but there were times where God told them not to eat certain things because it just wasn't good for them. Now, when we get to the New Testament, again, focuses more on salvation, and so he says, all right, you know, right now, let's spread the kingdom. We're not as worried about that. But still, there's some wisdom in making sure that, why do we see in our study of Daniel that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, what did they eat? Vegetables. What did your mom always tell you to eat? Eat a bunch of vegetables, you know, that'll make you happy or healthy. And so they ate, and they were healthier than the guys who ate all the red meat and stuff. Why? Because what you put in your body actually affects you. And so sometimes it's not depression you're dealing with. Sometimes it's just you're eating too much chocolate. Oh, man, do you really have to say that I might have to not eat chocolate anymore? No, I didn't say that necessarily. And all of our bodies are different. We have different tolerances for different things. But if you want to be well, attend to your body. Also, caution. What do I mean by caution? Well, Jesus said that those who live by the sword will die by the sword. In Genesis, it says that whoever sheds blood by man's hands, his blood will be shed. We also see Jesus being taken by Satan to the pinnacle of the temple and told to cast himself down. And Jesus said, I'm not jumping off the temple. And Satan said, well, the scriptures say that the angels will come and deliver you and you will not dash your foot against a stone. And I almost feel like sometimes some of those faith, not all of them, but some of those faith teachers, I think sometimes are echoing Satan's words, which is kind of scary. You know, no, you can do whatever you want and nothing's going to hurt you. And the reality is sometimes the reason why we got hurt is because we took too big of a risk. Is there anything sinful about skydiving? No. Well, first of all, I'm not ever going to do that. But secondly, if you go skydiving, it's not likely that your parachute can malfunction, but it could happen. And if your parachute malfunctions and you plummet to your death, well, that's not God's fault. Well, but it's God's fault because he should have made sure the parachute worked right. Who's the guy who jumped out of the airplane? I mean, I'm sometimes surprised at the things we will do. Isn't it amazing that we put a person on the moon? And yet how many lives were lost in the attempts to get up there, you know? And not that it wasn't necessarily worth it or that they did wrong in trying to do that. But you just have to understand that your body isn't invincible. And so sometimes you have to acknowledge that maybe I shouldn't do that because I might end up dying or hurting or breaking something because of that. Now, we need to be people who can discern the voice of the Spirit because all of these things could be factors that are happening, and we need the Lord to help us see which one it is. And we can use our minds and we can recognize, well, if I'm eating garbage, then, you know, maybe I should change that just in case. And we can recognize those things. But in the large picture, we need to have God help us discern which one is this for us and what needs to change. And when we do that for ourselves, we need to be careful not to judge others, because sometimes someone will get so fanatical about their nutrition and then they'll start harping on other people because I can't believe you eat those kind of things. And we start that, you know, that's why you're having all your problems and stuff. And we need to make sure, no, let's deal with my body. The other issue is emotion. Proverbs 17:22 says, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Sometimes the reason why you're hurting is because something's not right emotionally with you, just like I alluded to at the beginning of the message. And so sometimes while you're taking medicine and prescriptions and getting treated by a doctor, really you just need to make things right with that other person. Really, you just need to come to terms to get to a place where you trust God and you're not sitting under that anxiety umbrella all the time. Now, does that mean I can't take medication for different things? No. But that means that I can't just take that and pretend like the other thing doesn't exist anymore. We need to make sure that we take a holistic approach to our bodies. And why? Why? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, so whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. So if I'm having a hard time staying awake at night or getting up in the morning to do my devotions because I'm always feeling so groggy because I'm always eating foods that make me that way, then you need to change your diet. Why? So that you can do what God wants you to do. If you, because it's a shame that some people have allowed their bodies to die earlier than what was necessary because they weren't concerned about taking care of their hearts, their physical hearts. And there have been some preachers who've died in early points in life because they didn't tend to those things. You might say, well, who cares? I go to heaven anyway, so, you know, I'm just going to live and let live, and that's fine. I'll just go to heaven. Meanwhile, you might be shaving off years, if not at times decades, off of your life. And why does that matter? Because God has called you to accomplish things in this life and impact this world, and you can't do it if you're not here. What does Paul say? Paul says, I desire to be with Christ because that is better by far. And yet I'm torn between the two because I so much desire to be with you because there's so much work to be done. And so we need to take care of our bodies. Why? So that we can just feel better? No. So that you have the energy, you have the ability, you don't have the obstacles, so that you can plow ahead and seek the Lord, pray, study his word, minister and give and all of those things so that you're not completely restrained by that. And can nutrition have an impact on that? Absolutely. Can seeking a doctor have an impact on that? You betcha. Can your lack of prayer life have an impact on that? Absolutely. Your sin in your life? Yes. And it is absolutely important because I'm telling you, I watch people constantly. Nobody in this church never does that. I'm telling you, nobody in this church. But I have witnessed people who let their bodies fall apart and they pull out of things because their body is restraining them. And sometimes it's out of a person's control and, you know, there's grace in that. But other times it's because that person isn't doing anything to deal with it. But there's a balance between the curse and the relief. The balance is when I'm sitting in the middle of, I'm still suffering and I'm doing all the things and yet things aren't changing. You know, I'm eating right, I'm exercising, I'm seeing the doctor, I'm praying, I'm living right, I'm doing all that stuff. Have you ever felt like that before? You know, I got all the stars in alignment, everything's in its place and yet it's still falling apart. Have you ever had that before? Why is it still falling apart? I did the list. Well, that's because there's times when it doesn't matter if you do the whole list. There's issues, but why? Why are there issues? First, we have to understand that God has no intentions on keeping you from all physical issues. And we can expand that into other issues as well, but particularly physical is what we're focused on. In our Bible study on Wednesday night, we're walking through the book of Exodus, and it's amazing how we watch the people of Israel be visited by God, and they see Moses put his hand inside his tunic and pull it out leprous, put it back in, and pull it out healed. They see Moses throw a staff on the ground, and it turns into a snake. And they hear the voice of God saying, I'm going to deliver you guys, but you're going to face a conflict. And you know what happens when they face the first conflict? Where is God? He doesn't care about us. He doesn't love us anymore. Oh, we might as well give up on this whole thing. And God's like, what? I told you it was going to happen. And then ultimately he comes and he delivers them and he miraculously walks them through the parting of the Red Sea and walking on dry land and they get on the other side to safety. They're delivered from slavery and a couple of days later they find themselves with no food. And you know what they do? God, where are you? You don't care about me. You don't love me anymore. Everything's falling apart. I might as well just keep living that way instead of all this change. You know what God does? Brings a wind and swoops in food for them. And they have food for a little while, and then before you know it, they don't have any more water source. And you know what they do? They say, we're just going to trust God through this, and we're going to believe, and we just know it. No, same thing. Where are you, God? You don't care about us. You don't love us anymore. Why do we even do this anyway? And how many of us have found ourselves doing the same thing that we might want to make fun of the Israelites for doing it, but how many of us saw God miraculously touch our lives because of prayers of other people or because of us praying, and then we face another circumstance and it's not changing and we say, God, I don't know why I pray anymore because this prayer stuff doesn't work. How many of us have seen God provide for us in many ways because we were faithful to give or because we were living right and we see that God is letting us experience the fruit of our labors, but then we face a day where things are falling apart and we say, God, I don't even know why I keep living this way. I don't know why I keep trying to fight to be righteous and pure before you if everybody else is going to do this stuff and we want to give up. Why? Because there's pain present in my life. And you have to come to terms with the reality that God has no intentions on that completely going away until you are dead. Also, he enables us to face anything that we are going to have to face. Now, there's something that needs to be corrected. And I think sometimes, because I'll say this statement, but I mean it differently than the way some people receive it at times. You know that saying that he will never put any more on us than we can handle? Did you know that that's nowhere in the Bible? Did you know that? It's not anywhere. At least that direct statement is not anywhere in the Bible. Except the possibility of 1 Corinthians 10, 13, which God says that no temptation will overcome us except, but God will give us a way out so that we will be able to endure. But he's talking about temptation to sin. He's not talking about physical issues or relationship issues or any of those kind of hardships. He's not referring to that. So he's not saying, listen, I'm going to hold back stuff and not let stuff come your way. No, not at all. Well, but maybe he's saying he's not going to allow anything that's going to come into my life that's going to break me. No, that's not true either. Because remember that passage that I am pressed but not crushed, broke down but not destroyed? You see, it's not that he won't allow, because again, it's a denial of reality. Could you imagine being the martyr who's arrested in second century Rome, and they tie you to a stake and they release wild, crazy animals to just come and attack you and tear you to shreds? And there were stories where some of them survived for hours before they died. I don't know about you, but I don't think I'd volunteer for that, first of all. And I don't know about you, but I don't know if I have the faith to say that I wouldn't be a little bit frightened by that. Would you be frightened by that? God can allow, in fact, May can testify to you about a number of experiences that come into the life of a mother that are horrific. And God will allow that, but I thought God wouldn't put more on me than I can handle. That doesn't mean he won't allow you to experience a great deal of horrific things. What about the Jews in Nazi Germany? What about the African Americans living under slavery and other things still today? And the hardships that people face, God will allow some of the most horrific things to happen. So I hope that you understand, whenever I say he will not put more on you than you can handle, I do not mean that he won't allow things that are awful, hard, difficult, excruciatingly painful. Anybody ever experienced excruciating pain? Okay. God will allow that, and your faith is going to be broken if you don't understand that. But, so what is this whole, he won't put more on me than I can handle? Though that's not directly in Scripture, there is this passage. Listen to this in Isaiah 43, verse 2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame will not consume you. And it makes me think of that pressed but not crushed passage. Is it's not that he will keep you from all pain, even horrific pain, but it means that if you are a follower of Jesus, he will be with you every step of the way. And he will give you the strength to endure it and get through it, even if the deliverance means that you die to get to your deliverance. He will see you through. And aren't you glad that we have a loving Jesus, that when we die, he's going to show up either with himself or with his angels and usher us into a great place so lovingly and gently. Isn't that an awesome thing? And so I need to understand that these are the realities that I live in. Also, there is often revelation in suffering. Remember Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12, he said that God has given me this thorn in my flesh. Three times I've asked him to take it away. And what did God say? Absolutely, I don't want you to be in any pain. I want to make sure you're comfortable and everything's going good for you, so take away this thorn. Isn't that what God said, 2 Corinthians 12? No, he said what? He said, no, that's okay. It's going to stay, because my grace is sufficient for you. And he also said to him, I'm allowing it to stay. Or Paul said, I realized that God allowed this to stay because it was to keep me from being prideful. Paul knew that the reason why he was under the circumstances, which I honestly, when interpreting it, think that it was actually a social conflict within the Corinthian church and not a physical ailment. Some believe it was a physical ailment, which is debatable. But nonetheless, doesn't really matter. There's some kind of problem, pain in his life coming from some source, and God's not taking it away, because this is why Paul's able to be humble. And there are some times in which we only need one jolt, and we learn the lesson. But there are other times that we have to stay under chronic, persistent pain in order for us to not go back to arrogance. And this was Paul. He had to stay in this condition for whoever knows how long, possibly for the rest of his life, so that he could be the patient person that God has called him to be, or the humble person that God has called him to be. And sometimes when you are praying for deliverance, getting medical treatment, trying to, you know, I don't know how to fix this. I try to eat right. Have you ever felt like that before? Like, you know, I try to eat right. I go to the doctor and taking what they're telling me to take, and that's not working. And I prayed about it, and I did all this stuff, and it still hurts. Did you ever stop and ask the Lord, what are you trying to show me with this pain? Because sometimes either he's just waiting for you to learn the lesson, and then it's going to go away. Or other times, He's just waiting for you to learn a lesson. The pain might stay, but you need to learn. And oh, how much we miss because we're so focused on pain relief rather than what God's trying to tell me. Lastly, the last principle. Pain shouldn't put us out of the race. It just should determine at times the way we run it. You being in pain does not mean that you don't need to be involved in the body of Christ anymore. Even some of the most difficult pains. You being in pain doesn't mean you don't need to pray anymore and read your Bible anymore or witness. You being in pain, like I said earlier, doesn't mean you need to exhibit the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Doesn't mean that. Now, at times, that means that there's certain things you can't do because your body just doesn't allow you, and you've done the different things to address your body, and still your body doesn't allow you. And so some of you, you're not going to be able to play basketball with teenagers out in the parking lot because your body's just not going to allow you, and that's okay. We can embrace that. But that does not mean a complete elimination of all involvement in ministry and the body of Christ and prayer and worship and exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit. It doesn't mean that. And I love thinking about my manager when I worked for about 6 months or so at a Citizens Bank in Hopewell up in Beaver. She was managing the bank that was one of the most successful branches in Citizens Bank in sales, and she was handicapped. She had some type of arthritis that her hands were like this. She couldn't open her hands, and something was wrong with her hips, so she was kind of like this, and she used a cane, and she would limp around. But that woman, she could have taken a disability. She could have found other ways to get an income without having to work, but that woman was determined that she was still going to do something. She did. But so many of us at times decide that, well, my body's broken at the moment, so I'm out. You know, I don't need to do anything. And that's not always the case. Though it needs to be a measure of discernment to figure those things out at times. And if you struggle with discernment, I encourage you on either of our social media platforms, the Spiritual Strategy Course Session 8 is all about how to be led by the Spirit and to discern what God is saying. So I encourage you to use that. So what does it mean then, that I'm not out of the race, but it just means I need to make adjustments? Well, first, sufficiency is actually the target with health. I don't know if you know that. Just sufficiency. Just I can get by. Now, we would love to have the alleviated of all things, but sufficiency is good enough, actually. In fact, Paul says to Timothy, again, 1 Timothy 4:8, bodily training is of some value. Godliness is of value in every way. The primary pursuit is our spiritual well-being, not our physical. So if, and I did this one time, I was really getting into exercising. This was years and years ago. And I was really getting into exercising. I had to get up early in the morning and did my exercise routine before I go to work. And I started noticing it was hard for me to fit in my prayer and Bible study time. Until one day in my Bible reading time, I came across that verse. And I realized as much as it was making me feel good to take care of my body that way, if it means I can't read my Bible, I need to stop that routine. And so some of you, you're doing so much work to take care of your body, but you're not involved in spiritual things because of it. So if you spending so much time with the doctors or so much time studying nutrition and all of those things means that you're not doing what God has called you to do, then you need to scale it back some. Now, does that mean that I can't make any changes? Because listen, sometimes we're all or nothing. Anybody like that? You're all or nothing? If I'm going to exercise, I'm going to go all out or I'm not going to do any of it. You can actually, instead of doing a two-hour workout routine, you can do at least 15 minutes somewhere. Or just make sure you take a walk every day. Just because you don't have the money to buy all your groceries at Trader Joe's, and some of you don't even know what Trader Joe's is, or just because you don't have the money to buy a bunch of organic foods and all of that stuff, doesn't mean you have to eat ice cream and chocolate all the time. Doesn't mean you have to have several bags of potato chips in your house. And just because you can't go, just because you can't afford a membership at the gym, again, doesn't mean you can't just take a jog around your neighborhood. Doesn't mean you can't just do something. And so sometimes it's not a matter of going all out, it's just a matter of doing something. Why? Why does that matter? I just want to seek Jesus and that's all I want to do. Because some of you, your bodies are broken and you're not taking care of them and you can't actually do the things Jesus wants you to do because of that. As much as you would like to believe otherwise, because some of us, have you ever seen some people that are just utterly careless with their bodies? They pretend like they don't have one. Okay, you have one, okay? And you have to address the needs of your body, but just enough so that you can keep doing the work that the Lord has called you to do. Also, serving through obstacles displays God's power. in that passage in 2 Corinthians 12, God said to Paul regarding that thorn, he said, my power is perfected in weakness. That you, Paul, are going to be under that circumstance that you're in, and you hate it, it's painful, it's difficult, but other people are going to watch you thrive and do the things you're doing under those circumstances. You know what they're going to say? There's no way a human being can do that. How can somebody push through that pain and still keep doing that? There is no way unless there's a God in heaven that's giving them the power to do it. And then they come to realize there is a God in heaven who is able to make someone have the power to do those things. But if we get in pain and we just say, you know, I'm going to stay home today. I don't know if I can handle it. I'm too tired or too much, or it's just in too much pain. And you guys can't see me back here, can you? I'm just hurting too much, and I'm just gonna take it easy. I can't handle that stuff. And again, discernment is an issue there, because sometimes that is the case. Sometimes you do need to rest. But there are times that God is calling you to just keep persevering, even though it hurts. And you're robbing God of the opportunity to show that he can do it through you. And you're robbing other people of the evidence that God can do it. There are very few instances in which someone is actually completely incapacitated and can't be involved in ministry of some sort and cannot give and all of those things. I can think of very few. And if you think that you're in that condition, just ask me, I'll tell you, you're not. Just kidding. I won't do that to you. I'll just let the Holy Spirit tell you. Lastly, sometimes I have to accept my situation. Romans 9:21 says, has the potter no right over the clay to make out of the same lump one vessel for honorable use and another for dishonorable use? Sometimes we can look across the street or across the pew or look on Facebook or look somewhere in our lives and we can see someone else that has it much better than I do. And that hurts sometimes, doesn't it? Sometimes that's confusing. Sometimes we don't know what to do with that. And sometimes we think that's not fair. One of the lessons I try to teach to my children is that equal does not mean fairness. So just because it's not equal doesn't mean God's not being fair. And there are times that God would rather that person have a lot more money than you, better house or a better family life or a better body that's not hurting them as much. Have you ever just seen somebody and you thought they never have struggles ever? You know, everything just seems to always go well for them. And here's the thing. God has his reasons why they're in that spot. And I don't get to play God and decide that they shouldn't be in that spot. And God has his reasons why I'm in this spot. And sometimes we end up backed into a corner, like Paul, this thorn is there and I can't get rid of it, and you end up back in the corner, and you're just fighting for your life to get out of that corner. I just can't stay in this corner anymore, and I'm pounding on the doors of heaven. You even make it spiritual, like you're right with God in it. I'm pounding, I'm fasting and praying, and I'm casting out demons, and hell is not going to stand in my way. I'm getting out of this corner. And you keep doing it, and guess what? You're still in the corner. And sometimes you think you're fighting against Satan, but you're fighting against God. And the reason why you're stuck in the corner is because that's where God wants you. Why would he want me to be in this corner? Why did Paul want Joseph to be in the dungeon? Because sometimes there's a greater purpose that could be accomplished with you being in that corner. But more people can see and hear and know if I'm over in that corner. And what if people won't think you're faithful if I'm in this corner? You think God doesn't know what he's doing? And so sometimes it's just a matter of just accepting that I have this back pain. It's not going away. Does that mean you don't pray and ask God, will you deliver me? Does that mean you don't do different things to try to take care of it? No. But you need to hear from God. And if God is telling you, actually, listen, it's staying, then you need to accept that and figure out how to cope around that. Because sometimes refusal to accepting the place that God has you to be in, it concerns me that some of us spend so much time trying to fix a problem and not so much time advancing God's kingdom. Do we need to address issues? Yes, but sometimes we're spending so much time trying to fix an issue that God doesn't want fixed. And you're going to stand before judgment at some point in your life, and God's going to say, why did you spend so many years on dealing with that problem? I didn't want you to fix the problem. I wanted you to walk. I wanted you to do, speak, minister, pray. I wanted you to do those things. Well, but God, it was painful. Yeah, I know. I wanted you to do it anyway. This life stinks sometimes, doesn't it? But just because it's not equal doesn't mean it's not fair. Will you stand with me? Worship team, will you come and prepare to lead us? By worship team, I mean Joe and Joni. And just a couple of practical things before I ask if you would like to come before the Lord and seek him. One is, I plead with you to at least do the minimum with your bodies. Like I said, do it for the glory of the Lord. If you don't care about your own pain, do it so that you have the ability to do the things that God has called you to do. So if it means to give up some of that stuff that you like eating so much, then do that. If you don't have the capacity to study nutrition and spend more money on food or buy a gym membership, that's fine. But I encourage you, do something with your body so that it's not limited because of obstacles that you've allowed to enter into your life. Do something. And don't make fun of somebody if they're trying to do something either. Also, continue to review. As I said, we'll get these bullet points from each message to you, and continue to review that, because the things that we're learning from Scripture, it's not meant to just be like I watched a TV show once and then I was done with that. It's meant to be life principles. Also, I asked you guys last week if you're willing to be a wellness partner. And by that I mean you will just stay in contact with someone either through phone call or text, and you will contact that person regularly. They'll contact you and just to see, how are you doing? Doing okay? What's going on in your life? You know, can I pray with you? Is there something I could do for you? Just staying connected, because we need support, don't we? Don't you need support? But we can't have that support if there's not a person that's volunteering to be that support. So I'm not going to chase you down for it. I need you to come to me or text me or contact me, and I'll be glad to make sure we get you on a list and we start getting that going. Also, the testimonies. Nobody's going to hear the testimony if you don't say it. Okay? And I'm not going to drag you up here and beg you to share a testimony. If you have a testimony of the way God's working in your life, in your body, you have to tell somebody. And so please let me know that you have a testimony, and we'll make a way to make sure that you guys can get that testimony out there. So whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. I'm going to leave the altars open for a moment, and the worship team will lead us. Is God pushing at you about something? Are you, because it's not spiritual to deal with your body, are you not dealing with physical issues because, I don't know, you're afraid to, you feel it's not spiritual, but God is convicting your heart that it's becoming a problem for you spiritually. You're not able to do the things that God has called you to do because you're letting your body fall apart. And you need to deal with that. You need to talk that over with the Lord. Some of you, your body is in the condition that it is in. And while that might mean there's some things you can't do, you've allowed that to mean that you can't do anything. And I'm here to tell you that if you still live and breathe, there's something you can do for the kingdom of God. And if you need to deal with that, then come and deal with that. Lastly, and I only told John and Dan this. John, if you'd come stand down here at this altar, and Joyce, will you come and stand, and Cindy, and if Dan's still in the room, if you'd come and stand. I know that we already asked some of you to come forward for prayer, but I'm going to ask you again, if you have a problem in your body that you're just tired of it hindering you, or even if it's something beyond the physical, I want to invite you to come and ask these people to pray for you that will go away. And we're going to believe that it will, and because you have not, because you ask not. And yet, even if it doesn't, we're going to still persevere, right? Amen? In fact, I'm going to let some of you go first, and then I'm going to ask one of these guys to pray for me, because I don't know if you know this, but I have arthritis issues in my body. And there's times that my neck and back, and you might see me kind of jerk around a little bit at times, or might kind of mess around with my jaw. That's because I have issues. Not anywhere near as painful as some of you, but I'm not going to let that stop me from preaching and working and doing the things of the gospel. And if I have to work on a computer, sometimes that messes up my shoulder, so I'm going to figure out something and still do that. I don't want my body to hold me back, do you? And so I'm going to ask for someone to pray that I'd be healed. I have a thing going on in my family life that's kind of perplexing and challenging, and it's kind of weighs on my head all the time. But I still pray. I still read my Bible. I still reach out to you guys. We still plan and organize and strategize. Listen, if you wait till all your problems are gone, you'll never do a thing. Yet at the same time, God cares about your problems. Amen. And so let's spend some time either at these altars just seeking him directly, or if you need someone to anoint you with oil and pray for your healing, let's become the people that God has called us to be. Amen? Come and seek him. Thank you for holding tight with us for a little bit longer than normal. If you have questions regarding any of that, again, I encourage you to just, you could leave them in the comments or you could reach out to me. Because it's in this scenario, it's all about balance. Okay, we need to balance out between, we do need to address our bodies and yet not too much. And so we want the Lord to help us to have wisdom in that. Again, just a reminder, the nominating committee ballots, please make sure to either put them in an offering plate or give it to John if he's back there. Make sure that you turn those in. Offering is in the back for those of you that as the Lord leads you, you can give as you leave. For those online, you can give online. And next week we're going to begin to address either our mental or emotional parts of our lives. And so I hope that you'll be there for that. And the Lord is good. Amen. Amen. So thank you for being here. God bless you. See you next week.